Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
I know, one day we'll actually make sense of that, won't we, Rob Nichols?
We will.
So, here we are, sitting with five games gone, and...
Yeah.
I suppose could do better is
mid-table.
Maybe the official line. Yeah, mid-table, I won't say mediocrity. Disappointing against Preston North End.
Yeah, it was a very disappointing game.
But great goalkeeping.
Yeah, yes, Darren Randolph.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah, we definitely the fact that Preston deserved to win, didn't they? So, and Randolph, we have him to thank for keeping a point. And hopefully that point is precious at the end of the season, which will mean that we'll have to start building on that performance and building on the team that we now have.
Well, much as we obviously appreciate the drive time host at BBC Humberside, Andy Comfort and his team at Ipswich Town, the fact of the matter is, Andy, Ipswich are not going to make up the pace. I mean, I think, you know, four straight wins at the start of the season, it was going to end in tears at one way, shape or form. Cardiff, on the other hand, I don't know.
Wiley Warnock.
Exactly. They are looking quite interesting. And tragically, we can never really underestimate this season those boys from Elland Road.
No, they've made a tremendous start, absolutely, and beating Forest at Forest were flying, who'd knocked Newcastle out of the cup, hadn't they? Mm. And had obviously beaten us the week before, and deservedly won that game. So very interesting, really, what's going on there.
Mm. And of course, Leeds might be one of the locations that our special guest today, non-footballing supporting Richard Bellis, he likes the underdogs when there seems like Lincoln City going through the whole system,
yeah,
etc. And he likes to follow Middlesbrough, but he has never heard of Ryan Shotton. But that's okay. You know.
Few people haven't.
Exactly, but welcome, Richard. And the reason you might be in Leeds is because you might end up in Leeds, or you might be going to Sunderland. So really, it could be critical in terms of which particular competitor for Borough's promotional season you're likely to sabotage. Would you be sabotaging Sunderland, or would you be sabotaging Leeds?
Well, that's a good question. I think Sunderland, I think we have more of a rivalry with Sunderland, being both North East teams.
Our mole in the hole, so to speak.
Yes, yeah. Behind the line, exactly. Behind enemy lines, yes.
Behind the lines, sussing out the whole system there. I think Sunderland more or less already collapsed, to be honest. Sorry, Sunderland, but you know, it's, they're not looking too healthy.
No, I think we've just, obviously the transfer window has just closed, and I think for many people, we bought quite a lot of players early on. Obviously, we bought a couple the day before. But what the big worry was that we would lose players. And I don't know that we've lost anybody that we didn't really... We've kept all the players that we really wanted to, let's put it that way. You know,
Stuart Downing's still here,
yeah, absolutely.
And playing, of course.
Yes, by playing. And, of course, Ben Gibson was the player that we thought we would lose, and that was sort of reinforced when Gareth Southgate picked his first England squad, and Maguire was in it, and Ben Gibson wasn't. And the message was, you're in the Championship now, because he dropped down the pecking order. But he's still at Middlesbrough, which is fantastic, and that's a real bonus. It's not very often that a team gets relegated and does hold on to the players that they want to hold on to.
We will be talking about the transfer window in a little bit more detail in the second part of the production, but just looking overall,
yes,
the surprising headline story seems to have been the number of players who actually stayed. Virgil van Dijk. Coutinho, although admittedly by the time this I think the Spanish transfer deadline is actually midnight on the 1st of September. Coutinho there. Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
Ross Barkley.
Yeah.
And indeed the chap who was so impressed with wanting to engineer a move from West Ham United, he actually flew over to have the medical himself before anything had been arranged, came back and actually waited while his agent actually saw a horse race.
Yeah, that's at Cheltenham,
Exactly. You know, so it just goes to show you who's in charge on that one, the chap who actually goes to the race course, or indeed the chap who sort of waits outside waiting for the number to actually come through.
It's curious, isn't it? Then there's Lamar from France who was busy scoring goals and the very late bids were put in for him, and he said, well, I'm concentrating and playing for France, as you'd expect. So really, really odd. Yeah, you're right, that players that the big speculation around that were going to leave all summer long And now they're at the club still, January.
And arguably, I think we talk about Ben Gibson, had Van Dijk left Southampton, and who knows, I mean, Gareth Bale hasn't been entertaining, but that might have been the domino that launched the effects that would have led to Gibson possibly going, because I think Southampton were one of the clubs who might have actually been interested.
Well, it was interesting yesterday how many of the deals were dependent on, it was almost like somebody being in a chain for buying a house, wasn't it? There was a lot of things going on that, from Leicester City as well, that you know, lots, as you say, so many of these deals didn't happen. The only club that seemed to be buying everybody was PSG, and how they've got away with that is unbelievable, really.
I think financial fair play is not necessarily kind of working as perhaps it should be working with respect to the £195 million that they tend to...
Well, it's skewered the whole market, hasn't it? Right the way down to Championship and below. The fact that
£50 million, you know, is the new £1 million.
Well, it is. Absolutely, and it can't be good, really.
Interesting. Richard, as I say, a kind of, you know, neutralish football fan, observer, yep. What are your thoughts on the kind of the scale of transfer fees? Where effectively, we've gone from the days where gate receipts used to sort of cover cost of transfer fees, and then we have, of course, interested parties. I mean, in Burrow's case, obviously, the awesomeness of Charles Aymer.
Yeah.
I couldn't forget.
Yeah.
And so on, and local businessmen getting involved with the club. Now we've actually got small countries, Qatar and so on, actually shelling out sort of fee. China, obviously, there. Do you think it's good for the human spirit, let alone the game of football?
No, I don't think these large transfer fees are any good to anyone. I mean, I see players going for like $25 million, and I think this is just outrageous amounts of money. I mean, I don't want to sound like... I hate football or anything, but I think this money could be better spent somewhere else instead of on players. But, you know, I mean, yeah, if your team gets promoted, it brings in money for the town and things. So
but the kind of figures we're talking about, I mean, I was returned today from the Burley International Horse Trials yesterday, and still coming on today, and good luck to all the folk who actually, it's a German who's actually in the lead, surprisingly enough, Rob.
Right.
Michael Jung. Nice chap, but ultimately, as we actually said, we were more concerned with the British number two, who's currently doing some wonders there, and we did a good interview with her. Anyway, bottom line, I was talking to Rupert Bell, known contributors and keen Aston Villa fan.
Yeah.
He was bemoaning the fact that all they've done is in the chat transfer list is sign old men, basically. He's not a fan of John Terry. and we were sort of discussing the whole thing, and there is that line whereby the kind of costings, we've kind of gone stratospheric in a very small period of time, because Rob, you may recall where you might actually even remember the first £100,000 sort of transfer, the Martin Peters, Jimmy Greaves scenario.
Jimmy Greaves didn't want the pressure of the £100,000, he went for £99,999,
exactly,
didn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, now that's almost like small pocket change.
Well, isn't it? Absolutely.
In the scheme of things. The jump, clearly, when Trevor Francis became the first £1 million footballer.
Yeah.
Steve Daly. Yes, I remember Steve Daly. 1.5 million. Wolves to Man City. And so Andy Gray. And then we're into the 10. And we seem to have sort of suddenly, obviously, signing fullbacks for £50 million and so on. You've got that partly based, as you rightly said, on that extraordinary Neymar event.
Yeah, I think a few years ago, if you remember, fees started to go down, and then we had the Abramovich factor with Chelsea. It was a similar thing. That suddenly catapulted everything forward again. I remember it was a time when at Middlesbrough, Steve McLaren was the manager, and it was, fees were definitely coming down, and then they just exploded. And it only takes one club, really, and everybody has to sort of follow suit. You had that bizarre thing, didn't you, a few years ago with Liverpool, And I'm just trying to think that the Liverpool getting £50 million, the transfer thing on deadline, which suddenly blew everything out of the water. And now
was that Mr. Torres?
Yeah, well, sorry, Torres going to Chelsea.
We forget all the things, but it's dear old Fernando. You know, it's an ABBA song. I know.
Yeah. Well, he couldn't live with that fee, could he? Really, either. But yes, what has happened with Neymar has just affected everything, and it's. And you say about the players making the money, but really, as we know with Pogba, it's agents make an awful lot of money out of this.
Well, and again, in terms of where is the funding coming from the business model, you have the look at obviously TV revenue, and that's clearly growth from that. The likelihood is, I think, we're looking at Amazon or Netflix, or indeed individual servers providing the next big push for sort of footballing things. Is it right? Fans tend to be fickle. I mean, I don't know whether sort of Liverpool fans will forgive Coutinho for his uppity.
Yeah, presumably he's got to start playing again, unless something happens today, which is so unlikely, because Liverpool won't be able to replace them at this stage, will they?
And Ross Barkley, of course, could well be just another sort of anonymous signing.
He turned Chelsea down, didn't he apparently?
Did. Yes, yeah.
It's really odd.
Well, maybe he just likes to sort of count his money, you know, and sort of sit on the fence and work on that premise. Because we are into that whole line where even now, a loan deal, clubs are actually having to pay a transfer fee just for a loan deal.
Well, the PSG is supposedly a loan deal, but they...
£5 million up front, and then we can actually sort of give you a loan and let you go back.
Yeah, where do you draw the line? It's no wonder, actually, that UEFA have been trying to stop loan deals. And again, that's a problem, isn't it? Because lower down the pyramid, smaller clubs, well, even at championship level, they rely on loans. But presumably the reason they want to stop the loans is because of the situation at the top end of the game. So it's not doing anybody any good. Obviously, it's quite sort of, it's the glamour of the big club and whatever. But will PSG actually be able to buy success? Because, as you well know, at Manchester City haven't been able to buy success in the Champions League.
We've had some success. Obviously not quite in the Champions League, but then we gave...
Champions League.
We gave up at Real Madrid, effectively, to... we decided under Pellegrino, we thought, well, let's just not bother anymore. You know, it's just as easy for...
But it is very, very difficult to buy success at the Champions League level, and that's what the big clubs in Europe... That's what it's all about.
We'll talk a bit more about the transfer scenario, and particularly with the focus on Borough, because it is Fly Me to the Moon. It is the Borough official fanzine podcast, and we can legislate about some other bits and pieces. Let's talk Carabao Cup, because that was a success. And I mean, I know I perhaps was ridiculously optimistic when I predicted a 6-0 win the last time we were sort of gathered together for the Sheffield United game, but at least there was a win.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good performance by Borough, and it was also very good that we were able to reward a few players. A guy called Tavernier that scored a hat-trick for the under-23s, and he was brought in and had a debut and looked really impressive. Didn't score, but laid on some really good chances. And then a young lad called Wing, who was bought from Shildon, came on as substitute at the end. And then from that game as well, there was a couple of players that Lewis Baker and Fabio that were rewarded for their good performances and goals with first team starts at the weekend against Preston. It might not have worked, but it's sent the message, hasn't it? If you play well in the cups, then you've got a really good chance of getting in the first team for the league.
Lewis Baker on loan, of course, from Chelsea.
Yes, that's right.
In many ways, Chelsea Borough's feeder club, really, when it comes to sort of loan players. Did you think he sort of is likely to cut the mustard this season?
I think so. I think he's got to find his feet in the Championship, with the pace of the Championship. He's been playing abroad for, he was last season in Europe, and the Championship is a very fast league and very physical league, and the whole team has to learn that as quickly as possible. It does take time to adapt quite often, but I think he's got a big part to play. Whether he'll hold his place, because he didn't really... against Preston, the whole midfield didn't function that well, and really we only looked any good in that game when Downing came on in the last 20 minutes, with his passing skills.
The result was actually spot on. We salute that. We were absolutely wonderful on that point of view. We would be remiss in our duty as a fan podcast if we didn't have a few words about the Battle of the Riverside, as loosely termed, but I mean the horrendous scenes afterwards, which we kind of thought
Sheffield United
game, etc. Were you there, Rob? I mean, obviously you were at the match, but did you see the sort of situation? Because, I mean, some of the social media footage that we saw, it wasn't
awful,
pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm sitting at the other end of the ground, but, Sheffield United fans thought they'd scored at the end and it was disallowed, and they all rushed forward and some spilled on the pitch. Mm. And then Middlesbrough fans goaded them and they reacted to that. But you should expect to be to be goaded in that sort of scenario. They reacted, within the ground that there wasn't any chance of anybody coming together because everyone's really segregated. It was a bit shocking to see that in the ground, but what happened afterwards was particularly alarming. A lot of the fans didn't see it because they'd leave the other way, but sadly, a lot of the family end go through a car park to get out, and there was clashes behind.
As the BBC news out that's saying that children were targeted by the sort of Exeter fans, and yeah, we really do not want to go back to, well, two things. First of all, you don't want to fence fans in.
No.
Because that would be a complete disaster. And I appreciate that you had another incident which didn't really have much violence, apart from Raheem Sterling was actually sent off for celebrating his goal against... Yeah. Bournemouth, exactly,
yeah.
Where you've got issues from that point of view, but that would be a retrograde step. But equally, in terms of security outside the ground, you don't really want to get to the notion of brawling. Particularly, it's inexcusable at any sort of stage, but if it had been a kind of top-of-the-table clash with, like, one or two games to go...
Yes, I know.
Maybe, but...
Yeah, it was... Yeah. It was quite shocking and quite unexpected. I don't know whether you know, Alex, but police are not allowed to stop people from leaving at the end of a match now, which in a few years ago they would have stopped
the Hillsborough response.
Well, it was actually fans taking it to European Court of Human Rights, I think, that they shouldn't be able to be stopped. But now what you sometimes get at some clubs is you get the away fans get cordoned within a fence outside the ground. And you don't really want to be in that situation either. You want to be in a scenario where you're welcoming away fans and you're trying to put on the best experience possibly for the away fans without their team winning.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, Richard, your thoughts of this? I mean, I'd hardly like to convince you to actually saying, yes, I'm going to actually be checking out either the Stadium of Light or indeed Elland Road as soon as I get up there or down there.
Yeah, I've always known that there's always been big rivalries between football clubs. I've heard Middlesbrough and Leeds, those two fans go at each other.
There's a difference between rivalry
and brawling.
Exactly.
But
that's the sort of balance, I think.
Yeah, I know that the rivalry spills up so high that it does get pretty bad brawling. I mean, they've got loads of chants that are pretty nasty aimed at several.
Again... let's hope we're not taking a retrograde step. I'm sure we are.
Yeah, yeah. It should be said that one of the young man who was he was injured slightly and greatly shocked when the Sheffield United fans when there was the fighting in the car park. He was actually invited with his parents as a guest of the club for the next match, and he went onto the touchline and got his photos taken, the manager's dugout and things like that. Just as a sort of gesture from the football club, they were so upset for him.
Yeah. Well, particularly in Middlesbrough, do so much great work in terms of the community that
you
want to sort of suddenly lose that over challenges that beyond your
The kids could have been there with the parents and the grandparents for the first ever game because it was it's the first home game, and that could have put them off for life.
Absolutely.
Couldn't it? So,
okay, moving on.
We're
aware that sort of good evidence. I mean, 18 minutes has gone, and we've just really scratched the surface. Carabao Cup. We talked about, obviously, the success on the road to Wembley and the reward and away tie to Aston Villa, the side we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and first of all, we should pause, but we were saying about the success of the Carabao Cup, that it was the bizarre notion that it was a good idea to do a draw at 4:15 a.m. in the morning in China.
I presume you obviously stayed up.
I didn't. I'm glad I didn't, because it was... Did you see it was delayed by nearly half an hour?
The Chinese like to do everything right, you see. You know, if they're putting in the money, they need to sort the thing through. So let's have the traditional draw. I wonder if they'd like to do something similar for the FA Cup draws.
Well, I don't know. It's very interesting. I spoke to my brother the day before and said, oh, will he be watching the Carabao Cup draw? Because he lives in Hong Kong. Mm. He had no idea. So it's...
hasn't quite permeated the popular culture.
No, well, I thought that was the whole point, wasn't it?
Exactly.
That everyone in the Far East would be watching
it. The Carabao Cup draw.
Yeah, so we got Aston Villa, twice in less than 2 weeks, haven't we?
Indeed.
We play on the 12th and the 20th.
Yes,
and both away. Yeah. So I have to remember which is the league and which is the cup.
12th and the 19th, don't
we? 12th and 19th, right.
Even less time between
those. Yeah.
So I suppose Steve Bruce, he will have lots of sort of things to actually talk about.
Yeah, so it'd be an odd... an odd clash. It's always odd when you're playing somebody in the same league, and it'll be interesting to see what the difference is between the teams that are fielded for both competitions. But good to see that Middlesbrough are using that cup to introduce, as I said before, as they do against Scunthorpe, introduce younger players and give players in the squad a chance and an opportunity to sort of remind him. Remind Gary Monk what they're about and that why they should be in the first team.
Absolutely. We'll be talking more in detail about Borough's loan signings. That would be, of course, the Oxford chap, Mr. Johnson.
Marvellous Marvin.
Exactly. And the Birmingham chap, or former Birmingham chap, Mr. Shotton.
Ryan Shotton.
All of this and more after this.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
100. Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. And one tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, that's the recipe.
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie. Bernie, of course, costs £30,000.
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, in the whole scheme of things, that's a little dollar, but if you're listening and you'd like to sort of say £30,000 to either the Fly Me to the Moon coffers or indeed the Southside Broadcasting ones, we'll say thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
Exactly. But, in the comparative thing, outrageous. Okay, let's have a listen to the sort of, I mean, people going out first. It would seem that Accrington Stanley have actually been doing Northeast business. Callum Johnson's gone to Accrington.
Loan from Middlesbrough, yeah. That's right, yes. Should be good experience for him. It's always good experience playing in the league. So, yeah, that's a good move. I wonder if anybody else will go out on loan from Middlesbrough. Possibly will happen, as we've got a fairly big squad now. So.
Yeah, which is a good thing, as I say.
Yeah, I think so.
Stuart Downing, a surprise sort of holder. I thought he might have actually gone. Actually.
I know. Well, I think he holds the cards, doesn't he? He wants to stay. And I think he showed, another that showed against Scunthorpe when he came on, that how he's got it within his capabilities to change a match. And then again against Preston, he didn't He didn't win the match for us, but he certainly took us back into the game, and it was the only point when we were actually passing the ball and looked at ease. And that's why I'm pleased that he's still Middlesbrough player, and that Adama Traore is as well, because Traore was
somebody who I think was a pleasant surprise, really.
Yeah. And he showed at Forest again. He didn't manage to get us back into the game because people didn't convert the chances that he put on the plate for them. That's why he doesn't have any assists in the last couple of games, because people haven't converted the balls that he's put set them up.
Looking towards the two major incomes, I would have thought. The Shotton thing, Ryan Shotton, has been on the cards for a good few months. They've been talking about getting Ryan.
That's
Shotton.
Right. Yeah,
and I think Harry Redknapp was sort of doing his usual Redknapp's shuffle, shall we say? It's arrived.
Yeah.
So. Was it originally, again, we talked about the domino effect earlier, Shotton possibly a replacement for Ben Gibson, if that was there? Because that was initially what I was thinking, maybe that's what they were thinking about, really.
I don't think so. I think we only really had three centre-backs, and so we had to, we released Baptiste, and Shotton's come in as a young player that's got potential. He's a big player, very big physical presence, and that seems to be, Gary Monk seems to like the big physical presence at the back. But he's got a lot to do to get ahead of Dale Fry, who's another young, he's 20-year-old, isn't he? And then Danny Ayala as well.
But Dale Fry, an England World Cup winner, I believe, is he?
He was in that squad. Yes.
Exactly.
He played up to the quarterfinal level, so he's getting invaluable experience, and it's not very often that centre backs get that experience at that age.
Also for an undisclosed fee, so we can't actually sort of say how much we've actually paid because it's been undisclosed with Ryan Shotton. Marvin Johnson from the U's, Oxford United, of course.
Yep. He played against us in the FA Cup last season and looked impressive. He's only had one season there. He was signed in the transfer, end of the transfer window last season, at the beginning of the season. He scored about six goals for them. He seems to specialise in screaming long shots, but he's very, very fast down the wing. So, 26, he's actually spent a lot of his career in non-league. So he said himself he's hungry and, he wants to make the most of the rest of his career and go as far as he can. So that's the kind of player that you want to sign, isn't it?
And as we look at the fixtures, I mean, I was tempted, I know it's the international break, but I don't think England are going to have too much problems dealing with Malta somehow.
No.
I think they should be all right, even with Joe Hart in goal. Sorry, Joe, it's all right. I know you talked to Mr. Bravo, all he learnt, really. And you're playing for such a great side at West Ham now that I'm sure you'll be in tremendous success from that sort of point of view. You've only conceded 10 goals after all this season.
Wonder how many Darren Randolph conceded in his 20-odd games there.
Yes, exactly. That's another sort of thing, and we won't be churlish enough to actually say that. But we will actually say that after the international break takes place on the 9th of September, Bolton Wanderers away,
yes,
followed by Aston Villa away,
yep,
and then home to Queen's Park Rangers. It's again looking quite interesting.
Yeah.
And yes,
there was a lot of home games in August, and obviously we didn't capitalise on that last home game. There's a lot of away games in September, so we have to quickly start winning away from home, because obviously we lost those first two away games. Bolton is maybe a good team to be playing at this time. They've just got promoted, but they've got a transfer embargo over the club. We haven't got too many good memories of going to that stadium. It was the Reeboks and Macron now, isn't it? We lose there.
Is the chap who used to be one of Tony Mowbray's favourite players who we sold to Bolton, is he still playing? I can't even remember his name, actually. He was almost a Middlesbrough legend,
right,
a mini legend. He was a young player, played centre-back, centre-half, went off to Bolton, back-ender just before Tony Mowbray, actually, I think, said, and I recall we had this conversation in the canteen of the James Cook University Hospital, and you said you'd spoken to Tony Mowbray, and he actually said that if he had an opportunity, he would have spoken to the parents and kept this player.
The Redcar Rock.
Yes,
he is still, and he's playing pretty well at Bolton, I think, now. I don't know
you
much...
just can't remember his name, obviously. You know, so it's clearly there, but suddenly we've just sort of put him to one side. Never mind. If you know the answer, send us in. Oh, it's on a postcard, because that's so 20th century. So. Anyway, Belton again will be interesting. Aston Villa, I think, challenges. It would be nice to get 6 points, I think, to kind of springboard a sort of autumnal launch, really.
Yeah, absolutely. We it's time for us to start quickly in matches, because that's been our problem, especially away from home. We've been starting very slowly against Preston. We just kept going at that pace. We need to sort of dictate the terms from the start of the game against Bolton and take some points, use that as a springboard to go to Aston Villa and show Aston Villa, of course, were pre-season favourites before Middlesbrough for some reason, and then all the pressures come on them. That we need to keep that pressure on them. And start building some momentum. We don't need to panic as yet, but we now start to gradually move forward.
Yep, exactly. Quick mention of the 10K run, which takes place this Sunday, first thing to it beforehand. Sadly, without your good self, Rob, Nichols fans, the brigade of folk.
Don't look out for me, I won't be there.
Exactly, yeah. They won't be sort of sorting through.
And neither will David Wheatler of Bolton Wanderers. That's who you're talking about, isn't it?
Exactly. See, we knew we'd get there in the end. David Wheatler, the man who could well have visited Middlesbrough but decided he actually wanted to improve himself, the fool, and went off to Bolton.
Yeah, but looking for. It's always a fantastic event, the 10K, and there's also the 3K fun run. It's always a brilliant event when everybody comes out and supports, and there's about 1,000 runners, people doing it for all the different sort of charities. And there's live music played around the route, and it goes right around south of Middlesbrough. So if you've not entered, get out and support the runners, because it really makes a big difference as you're struggling around.
Richard, will you be supporting the runners?
Oh, yes.
Yep. Exactly. Sort of. That's marvellous. Because when Richard next joins us, he'll be at a different university. So he's moved away from University, either at Leeds. He'll be at Sunderland. It's Trinity and All Saints Leeds. Yep. Or the University of Sunderland. It's just a wondrous thing. No predictions in terms of he's forward today. But inevitably, how can people get hold of the paper copy edition of Fly Me to the Moon? The next edition, of course, is just ahead of the Queen's Park Rangers battle.
Oh, yeah, Queen's Park Rangers, yes.
Exactly.
Well, you can still subscribe. If you go to the website, fmttm.com, and click on subscribe, and you can also buy the last issue if there's a fanzine shop on there if you missed the last issue.
Indeed. That's Peter Sane, of course, who coordinates the fanzine
there. Oh, he's got a shop. He's got a real shop that sells fanzines.
If you have a real shop, you can actually have a real shop. There's just no excuse whatsoever.
That's right, Sacred Alien Comics in just near the Dundas Arcade in Middlesbrough. It's got a borough room full of all sorts of borough books and stuff, and it's got the fanzines for sale in there.
So let's wrap up with those final seven words that I know Richard has been practicing and sort of when he was in Derby recently, because he had to do something when his brother was actually destroying his jigsaw collection.
Really?
That he was setting up, and also there was no signal on the internet. He was in a completely dead area.
Ah, it's so terrible.
Exactly. I just thought, doing a jigsaw, how wonderfully quaint. So I know he's been practicing these seven sort of words,
yes,
etc. So he's going to really deliver them. So
with gusto.
With gusto.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you know the words, I presume, Richard.
Those words being, come on the borough, up the borough.
Except that's actually eight words as opposed to seven simple words, because it's just come on borough, up the borough.
Yeah.
That's good. Right, let's go. A one, a two, a three.
Come on, borough, up the borough.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song. Or the fragrance for men.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialize in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.